Support for Radio Catskill comes from Jeff Bank, a community bank serving Sullivan County and beyond for more than a century. Rooted in local relationships and growing with our customers, Jeff Bank offers full-service personal and business banking with a commitment to service. Jeff.Bank, member FDIC. From generous funding from the Public Media Bridge Fund, and from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
On This Old House, Radio Hour. Open floor plans can be a recipe for madness.
You end up with the noisy restaurant phenomenon. Everyone starts talking louder and louder. This is what happens in an open concept place.
Plus, hip-hop pioneer Fab Five Freddy's Harlem Brownstone. That's this week on This Old House, Radio Hour. Sunday morning at 7 on Radio Catskill.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we've got interviews that will put a couple of great books on your summer reading list. We're talking about the poetry of food and the life of the legendary Judith Jones, who brought Julia Child back to America. That's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
Hey everyone, Tom Candela here of Curtain Call. This week on the show, I explore one of the most groundbreaking and emotionally powerful musicals of the modern era as Rosendale Theatre and Phoenicia Playhouse join forces to present Fun Home during Pride Month. My guests include Anne Citron, Geneva Turner, and director Sidney Grossberg-Ronga as we discuss identity, memory, family secrets, and the importance of bringing bold and meaningful theatre to our local communities. That's this week on Curtain Call, Monday night at 7, only on Radio Catskill.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Each week, I introduce you to fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond. Today, Andrew Niederman, a prolific author who for nearly 40 years has been the voice behind the popular V.C. Andrews series, writing more than 100 books and helping grow the franchise into a global phenomenon. He has also written 45 thrillers, and more than 20 of his books have been turned into movie scripts. That includes Devil's Advocate, a novel that was turned into the 1997 major Hollywood production of the same name, starring Charlize Theron, Keanu Reeves, and Al Pacino. But before any of that, Andrew was born in Brooklyn and spent more than two decades in the Catskills. He taught English at Fallsburg High School before making the leap into a full-time writing career. Now, following the recent release of Bird Lane Island, he's stepping away from ghostwriting, closing a remarkable chapter in his career. How did he get started? What was it like teaching in Sullivan County? And what are his plans for his retirement? Radio Catskill's Patricio Rubio spoke with Andrew to find out. So please settle in for this fascinating conversation with a true Catskill character, Andrew Niederman.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the program. I do really appreciate it. I want to start here. You spent more than 20 years teaching English at Fallsburg High School before becoming a full-time writer. Can you take me back to that moment when you decided to leave the classroom and fully commit to writing? What was happening during that time that sort of gave you the confidence that you could do this?
I was always writing, even when I was teaching. In fact, I published 18 novels while I was teaching.
Wow.
So it was just part of my life. I started Fallsburg right away after college. I came back to the school I graduated from, taught with the teachers who taught me. So that was a wonderful experience. And while I was at Fallsburg for the 23 years, I became the chairman of the English department, director of dramatics, coached wrestling. I created an audiovisual division, and I was summer school principal for a few years. So I had a full career at Fallsburg. When my writing career really boomed, when J.P. Putnam decided to do a multi-book contract, and at that point I figured it was ready. And I had a movie being made in Hollywood, so I thought it's time for us to shift to the next gear. So we left and came to Hollywood in 87. and been here ever since, working on films and books. And I have, as you say, I have the 100 V.C. Andrews titles, 45 thrillers, about 22, 23 movies. So it's been a great career for me. And I'm working. I'm still continuing to work.
It's amazing that you still are, and it's great that you've written so much. When did you realize in your life that writing for you was something more than you enjoyed, and you said, and becoming a published author? When was it in your life that you decided that, or found out that you had this gift of writing?
Well, funny as it might sound, it goes back to kindergarten. In kindergarten, the teacher decided one day, I'm not going to tell you stories anymore. You're going to tell me. So most of the kids were scared getting up and had nothing to say. And I got up and I started telling my stories. And after a while, the kids would yell my name. And the teacher got frustrated and finally gave up the program because all they heard about from was from me. So I usually go back to that. And I wrote throughout junior and senior high school. I wrote lots of poetry in the school newspaper, wrote articles, and published my first novel, as I said, when I was teaching. I knew it was going to be part of my life forever.
Now, I've heard, you know, how you got in contact with the people for V.C. Andrews. You said you were sharing an agent with V.C. Andrews, and that led to the opportunity to complete Guardian of Shadows. This was after V.C. Andrews passed away, and the publisher wanted to continue the series, as far as I know. So how did that connection happen? How did that moment unfold, and what made you say yes to this, I guess, assignment?
I hadn't read V.C. Andrews. My wife did. But I was at a lunch one day with my agent in New York, and she said, I think we might ask you to finish the V.C. Andrews novel. My novels, those early thrillers, all involved young teenagers, and in many ways were similar to V.C. I went to Hollywood, and I wasn't out there 2 weeks before I was called back to finish the Flowers in the Attic. And that, I had to meet with the editor, and we started with that, and frankly, never stopped. It's been over 37 years for me, and the franchise, one of the longest running in American publishing, has about 45 years in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have studied what V.C. Andrews was. I had to go spend time learning style. The thing is, I taught creative writing, so I had a little bit of a head start on what to look for. The first, 10, 15, 20 books were number one in the New York Times best-selling list. It just kept going, and here we are. When I say recently, the last 5 years, there was a hedge fund company looking to buy the franchise, and I helped negotiate the deal, and A&E Studios now owns V.C. Andrews. And that was a good move because they make movies. So I knew that if we got into it with A&E Studios, we would have movies made of all the books that I've been writing. And that helped generate more sales of books. So that went on and on. And then I wrote the biography, of Virginia, called The Woman Behind the Attic, which got an Edgar nomination. It became our life, really.
And during that time, you were still writing for yourself also.
Oh, yes. I know people won't believe it, but I wrote 3 novels a year at times. But I used to write on one computer. I'd write V.C. Andrews, turn around and start writing Andrew Neiderman thrillers. It just was a gimmick maybe in my head. Yeah. But it helped me move my voice to the voice of a woman or a young girl. And that's the way I worked it for many years.
What is your writing schedule like? I'm always curious about, writers have different ways of writing. Are you a person that, wakes up and from 8 in the morning to 12, I'm going to write? Or was it just
It was my full day. I started with writing. I broke for lunch and continued a few hours and then broke into exercise and other things. But I put in a full day writing, yeah. Writing is always...
Five days a week?
Yeah.
Wow. V.C. Andrews had a very distinct tone. And you mentioned a little bit about, I guess, developing her voice for yourself. How did that go? How did you get into her head in a way, and to write in V.C. Andrews' voice, and not only do it once, but doing so many times and maintaining that voice for so many years?
As I said, I taught creative writing. I knew what voice was. And when I started studying B.C. Andrews, I caught on to it. It became part of me. And in speaking, I could keep the two different novels apart. And it just, I don't know. My first novel was about two women called Sisters. It took place in the Catskill Village of Mountaindale. I was familiar with both angles of it. Some writers can't do it. I was able to do it, right from both sex point of views.
I just want to go back a little bit more on the writing process across novels. You've written screenplays. You've done stage work. I understand you wrote the musical for The Devil's Advocate. I just want to go back as far as your writing process actually look like. Are you outlining heavily? Do you outline your stories before you go into them? Or as you're writing, as you go along and discovering what's happening?
That's probably, the second part is probably true. What happens is that when I tell us the young writers is get a character in your head first, a character that's believable, that the people will accept. And usually a character writes the story, because once you create the character will always do what it does and not add a character. So it stays that way. I usually begin with a what if question, almost even with the V.C. Andrews novel. I get the what if question, and then that starts the plot. And then I figure what kind of a character would fit in this plot, and then build the character. And from there, it just runs itself.
Besides V.C. Andrews, you're also well known for writing The Devil's Advocate, that became a major Hollywood film. How did that project make the leap from the pages to the screen? And what was it like seeing it come to life on the big screen?
Well, it was wonderful. But I also taught film studies, so I was very familiar with the creation of movies. And usually the author isn't invited to the movie set, but they knew who I was, what I had done. They knew the difference between a book and a screenplay. So I was welcomed on sets. And if you write in a visual sense, people usually are looking for movies to have a little bit of an up by chance, better to do it, to do that book. Right now I've got a couple of things that are being developed into films, and wrote the screenplay for two movies, the V.C. Andrews Rain novel and series, and Duplicates, which was a USA Cable movie of the week. I've been in touch all different forms of it. I just loved writing. That was my thing.
You've been listening to a conversation with Andrew Niderman, author and former teacher in the Catskills. There's much more of this conversation to come here on Catskill Character.
Prevention is considering your loved ones by securely storing medication away from children and pets. Keep your loved ones safe. And remember, let's stop stigma, Sullivan County. Paid for by Sullivan Allies Leading Together.
This week in This American Life. When he was a boy, David Sedaris found a dirty book in the woods. A dirty book. It raised all sorts of questions about adults everywhere.
I showed the book to my sister Lisa, who tore it from my hand, saying, "Let me hold on to this for a while." "I'm pretty sure this exact same thing is going on right here in North Hills," she whispered.
The book that changed my life, this week on This American Life.
This American Life, tonight at 6 on Radio Catskill.
As we steer towards the end of May and into June, spring and summer seem to overlap with flowers, roses in particular. So next time on The Wagaloda Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill, we'll be hearing songs about roses, roses as roses, and roses as metaphors, on Sunday afternoon at 3.
Join the Kingfisher Project's Bill Williams for a powerful performance reflecting on the loss of his son due to opioid addiction and his family's journey through grief and healing.
If I help in some way to reduce the stigma around addiction, that makes me feel like I'm doing something in my son's honor, and that assuages, for want of a better word, the grief.
History of a Brief Time, this afternoon at 5 at the Loop Beach Community House, followed by an audience Q&A.
To get information at WJFFradio.org.
Hi, I'm David Dan. Join me Saturdays at noon for 2 hours of America's classical music on Jazz Lives. We'll explore the century-old tradition of jazz in all its forms. That's Jazz Lives Saturdays at noon, only on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg. Today, we've been listening to a conversation between Radio Catskill's Patricio Robayo and prolific novelist Andrew Neiderman. In the first half of the show, we heard about Andrew's time as a teacher in Fallsburg, New York, and how he got started writing the V.C. Andrews novel series. We're about to learn how Andrew worked on adapting his books for the screen and what he plans to do now that he's written his final V.C. Andrews novel. Here's author Andrew Neiderman in conversation with Patricio Robayo.
You mentioned a little bit that the selling of the V.C. Andrews franchise to television with A&E Studios and Lifetime producing multiple films of it. I understand you were involved in that side of us as a consultant and helping yeah. that deal come across. How was that for you, being like a consultant and being an ambassador for V.C. Andrews?
Yeah, I felt... It was good. They wanted me to be a consultant because they wanted to keep close to V.C. Andrews novels. They wanted to keep it with that feeling, tone and all. So I consulted. And all, I, when I say consult, it means like they give me the script and then I would go through it and suggest things and do it that way. I wasn't directing movies. I was just working on the scripts and the that part of it. They'd call me from the set sometimes and say, would this character do this? Or can you give me the date of the birth of this character? Stuff like that. So it was fun. Yeah. I think we've done 15 of them.
I want to talk about your retirement. You, after so many years, more than 100 books, what led you to ultimately to want to step away from ghostwriting?
It was basically needy. I think basically what happened is they no longer wanted to publish novels, A&E. So that, they owned it, so that made it difficult to do anything else, do it with the publisher, and because they would have had to hire a new division for books. And it ran pretty good. If, over 45 years, I figured, okay, maybe this is the time. Bird Lane Island is the last V.C. Andrews novel, yeah.
Right. And how did that feel for you, having to step away from a role that's such a defined, a really large part of your career?
I'm not a kid anymore, so it wasn't hard to step away. It's just that it still lives with me, and I'm running a store that's basically half V.C. Andrews and half Neiderman. So we'll see how that comes out. Fans might like it because of that. My fans will like it because of the thriller aspect. So I can bring them both together. So, I mean, I'm not leaving the process is just trying to figure out new ways to do it.
You have such a long career that technology has changed so much. I'm sure in your writing career, you went from, I'm assuming, from typewriter to now working on the computer. That change of technology, I'm just curious, did that throw you off when you had to change from like a typewriter to a computer or anything like that? Or
no, actually, I was glad to get the first computer. My sons wanted to talk me into it. Mm-hmm. I have a tendency to write as type as fast as I think. So when the computers came along, I could do all those things. It made it easier to write the books. Maybe it's part of the reason why I could do so much.
Yeah.
145 novels, full length.
Yeah, that's just
plays
amazing.
And short stories and the poems. It's quite a background, yeah.
Yeah. Do you keep a notebook next to you at all times when ideas come to you, you're writing it down? Or do these ideas live in your head and then when you get down to writing it, it comes out?
I scribble down some lines sometimes when I'm out, but I don't to outline or keep a notebook. No. It just, as I say, let the story write itself.
Right. Now, you mentioned about the book that you're writing now that you're closing this chapter. What kind of stories or projects are you excited to focus on next?
I got two books. One of them is a horror thriller, and the other one is a V.C. Andrews love story, but a lot more graphic and more my writing. But it's got that concept in it, her concept in it. And it's called The Shadow Family, and that's like a V.C. Andrews title. So that helps move it along.
Now, looking back in your career, what sort of stands out to you as far as something you're most proud of?
Oh, I would say seeing Devil's Advocate on the big screen and then winning the or getting the Edgar nominations. I had two of them. That was exciting for me. And just getting the excitement of the publishers behind what you're doing is a wonderful feeling.
Right.
You got a whole team working for you.
I'm glad that they brought you onto the set and kept you, because sometimes you always hear those stories about folks who write the books and they make movies out of their books, but they're sort of kept out of the process. How hands-on were you on Devil's Advocate, the movie?
I met with the first two or three writers personally in my apartment and went over things with them. We tried to figure out different things Warner Brothers wanted. And finally, Tony Guilford came up with the third act. We called it the first, second, third act in the film. And he came up with the third act, and I thought he came up with a really good idea. And that sold Warner Brothers. And then we got into this casting, and then from there it went where it's gone. All over the world right now, actually.
You always hear that writers read a lot. So I'm just curious, what are you reading right now for yourself?
I read a lot because I taught English and British literature and American literature. And I had a master's in English, so I was quite a reader all the time. If you want to be a writer, you got to be a reader. There's no question about it. I get inspired by really great writing, and it gets me putting down the book and running into my room to start writing. Not that I'm copying them, it just gets you inspired. It's like when a singer hears a beautiful singer and he feels one wants to sing, and that's the way it goes. Writing is inspiring, and reading is inspiring. And as I say to the people I talk to, if you want to be a writer, you've got to be a reader. And I also advise them to read the Bibles, because everything's in the Bibles, both of them, storyline-wise. So, it's just the way I've developed, and I think it went right.
Andrew, you've talked about the path about reinvention as being a key to longevity. But for as far as you going into this next chapter in your life, what does reinvention look like for you right now?
I've been working on a memoir. I think that's good. And get a few more things done. And then I don't know, as I retire, I'll always scribble things down, but I'll keep reading. And that's what the important thing is. And then enjoy life. Enjoy the success. That's the most important thing, probably. Mm-hmm. Be able to do it. Not be upset all the time.
Did you ever make your way back to Sullivan County?
Yeah, I've been there quite a few times. I was given the Historian's Award years ago. It was a big dinner. Fallsburg High School has invited me back, and they put me in the Hall of Fame. So I've been back to Sullivan County a number of times.
Right.
I don't know about right now. Back then, too many memories.
I know you were born in Brooklyn. Right. When did you make your way to Sullivan County?
I was three when my parents came up. We lived in Woodridge and then in Mountainville.
Oh.
And my parents had a soda fountain candy store. I was a soda jerk. And the summers were like, not much time to work on writing. But I wasn't ready yet. And then in college, and everything followed from there.
Andrew, before we go, I'm going to say I've been wanting to talk to you for a very long time. Just when I found out that the author of the book, The Devil's Advocate, was from Fallsburg. And I'm not really from Fallsburg. I'm born and raised in the Bronx. Yeah.
I went to school in the Bronx.
Oh, yeah?
Went to Hunter College uptown.
Oh, yes. Oh, awesome. That's great. Yeah, there's a lot of folks from up here, obviously, who come from Bronx to Brooklyn, and it's a nice mix when I see folks from parts of my neighborhood and things like that. Andrew, before we leave, is there anything we have not touched on you want folks to know about either your career, your future, or where people can find you? I know, I understand you have a website.
You can find me at Nideman.com. I have my Facebook pages, of course. They could get me on that. And when you're a writer, you have to have a lot of support. And my family was a big support, my wife especially, because I was gone a lot in my room writing. She had to do a lot of extra things. But she believed in me, and I think we're both pretty happy it's all happened that way.
Yeah, I definitely the supporting.
Wonderful. I have no complaints, really. It's a wonderful life, but let me tell you, it's a struggle in the beginning. So I always used to say, if you can't take the struggle, then maybe you shouldn't bother. You should look for a different career. Because people are going to like you, people are not going to like you. You got to be able to take it and go forward. It's important. Yeah.
Oh. You have so many more stories to tell. So I look forward to seeing your future work. So again, Andrew, thank you so much for talking to me. It's been really, to be honest with you, it's been really true honor to talk to you. I've been wanting to talk to you for a very long time. And when I saw the announcement of your retirement, I felt it was a great opportunity for me to talk to you. I hope it won't be the last time I talk to you. Thank you so much for talking to me about taking time to talk to us. And again, congratulations on an incredible career and on your next chapter.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a conversation with Andrew Niederman, prolific author and former Catskills teacher, here on Catskill Character. I want to thank Radio Catskills' Patricio Roballo for bringing us this conversation today. If you want to hear it again, it's up now at WJFFradio.org, along with past episodes of Catskill Character. That's WJFFradio.org. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Thank you so much for listening this morning, and please join me again next week for more conversations with fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond, here on Catskill Character.
On this week's Wait, Wait, Tiffany Haddish teaches me how to be funky.
And I would stand you right next to me and I would say, follow my lead, do whatever I do, okay? And smile the whole time. And I would start with a side-to-side step clap, right? And you side-to-side step clap with me.
I'm Peter Sagal. I don't actually do any of that, but you should still join us for this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Jason Dole with a quick look at the weather. We're heading towards a high of about 60 this afternoon, partly cloudy. It'll be cool tonight, overnight lows in the lower 40s. And it'll be a little more cloudy tomorrow and a little warmer with a high of 67. Well, coming up this afternoon, I want you to know that Radio Catskill is hosting a very special event in Lou Beach. Bill Williams, host of the Kingfisher Project, Information Against Addiction, will perform History of a Brief Time at the Lou Beach Community House, coming up at 5 this afternoon, with proceeds to benefit Radio Catskill. After the death of his son, William, from an accidental heroin overdose at age 24, Bill Williams turned to writing as a way to process grief. He wrote essays on his blog, pieces published in outlets that include the New York Times, and Bill has taken those reflections and combined them with his experience as a teacher and a public speaker and turn them into this stage monologue that he'll be performing this afternoon. To say that this is a personal project, a passion project, that would be a massive understatement. Bill believes that storytelling is central to changing how people understand addiction, and that changing how people understand this issue is key to how we can tackle it in increasingly humane and effective ways. And this is the first time that I know of that Bill is presenting his work in this form to the general public, and it's truly gracious that he's chosen to involve Radio Catskill. So I will be there. I hope you can make it out too. It's Bill Williams' monologue, History of a Brief Time, happening today, 5 o'clock at the Lou Beach Community Center. Tickets will be available at the door. Well, thank you for being with Radio Catskill for the last Saturday of May 2026. You want to stay with us because coming right up, it's Jazz Lives with David Dan, kicking off an afternoon of great local music programs that also includes Jambalaya, as well as Now and Then with Kathy Geary. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, comedian and actor Jeff Hiller. Hiller won a 2025 Emmy for his role on the television series Somebody Somewhere. His memoir is called Actress of a Certain Age, My 20-Year Trail to Overnight Success. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures, here on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
CBS News Radio is no more, and while obits for the network celebrate nearly a century of broadcasting, back in 1928, the launch was less than promising.
CBS is this upstart company formed by a stock promoter and a talent agent. The early reviews of the first performances don't make you want to tune in again.
The hidden history behind CBS's success on this week's On the Media from WNYC. This afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.